Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 410th Word for Word show. We are in the book of Mark. We will be starting in chapter 4. I ask that you have writing material ready when I start to read, because there are so many references and notes that you're going to want to make a list, so be prepared. A lot of people have told me people are trying to Google Pastor Steve to find my website, and it's not working. There's a whole bunch of them. My website, nobody else's, my website is https://www.pastor, pastor-steve.com. Now, if you just try to Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. I'm telling you. You know, I've even looked it up. And there's a whole page full. So I just gave you my website. Nobody else's. So that's how you get to my website. So let's get started in chapter 4 of the book of Mark. Verse 1. You can reference the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. That's Luke 5, 1 through 3. This is verse 1 of chapter 4. And he began to teach again by the sea, and a large crowd was gathered to him, speaking of Yeshua, okay, so that he entered into a boat to sit in the sea, and all the crowd was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them much in parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen. This is verse 3, and you can reference Matthew 13, okay, with its footnotes. See, a sower went out to sow. Verse 4. And it came to be as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the heaven came and devoured it. Verse 5. And other fell on rocky places where it had not much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. Verse 6. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. And other fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Verse 8. And other fell on good soil and yielded a crop that came up, grew, and yielded a crop. Some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. Verse 9. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now what he's doing is talking about the witnesses that are the good soil and the crop they bring. They keep bringing in more crops because that seed has sprouted in them. The seed of the word. That's what he's talking about here. Okay. Verse 10. And when he was alone, those about him with the 12 asked him about the parable. Verse 11. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the secret of the reign of Elohim. But to those who are outside, all are done in parables. This is verse 12, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 6 of Isaiah. So that seeing they see but do not perceive, and hearing they hear but do not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. In other words, Israelites that are seeking the word, seeking the truth, listening, that have indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they're going to hear this, and they're going to get it. But those who are not of Israel, those that have not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they can't. Non-Israelites, it's not for them. They're not going to get it. It's not given to them at all. He's not casting pearls before swine. Okay. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then shall you understand all the parables? Verse 14 of chapter 4. The sower sows the word. Okay. The word, the truth, the word of Yahweh. Verse 15. These then are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. And likewise, these are the ones sown on rocky places who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Verse verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, but are short-lived. Then when pressure or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they stumble. In other words, verse 18. And others are those sown among thorns, and these are they who hear the word. Verse 19. And the worries of this age, and the deceit of riches, and the desires for other matters entering in, choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. It's not, you know, they're not going to witness. They're not going to believe it. They're not going to have it in their heart. They're in the world. They're worried about the world. They're worried about their FCUV payments and big screen TVs and stupid stuff. Sports. Verse 20. And those sown on good soil, are those who hear the word and accept it. And what does it mean to accept it? It means you believe it, therefore it becomes part of your life. You want to live it. And bear fruit. Some 30-fold, and some 60, and some 100. These are people, you take it, and the word means so much to you that you go out and you witness to others and you bring more of the remnant together. You might go out and witness to 100 people, and 30 will listen, and they'll come in. Or you witness to 150 people, and 60 people will listen and come to the remnant. And sometimes you're going to get 100. You're going to get a whole bunch. If you're preaching to a congregation, they convert. They get away from Judeo-Christianity. They learn the real word. That's what bears fruit. Okay? I witness here on my show. Okay? This is witnessing. I reach a lot of people this way. This is a gift given to me. This is a venue that I have been placed in where I can do good for my master. Because I believe the word. The word rules my life. And it isn't always pleasant. I've suffered because of it. Well, that's all part of the game. Everybody's going to go eventually, okay? Unless the master comes back in our lifetime. It's what you do with your life and what you do with the word that counts. That's what he's saying to these people here. Verse 21 of Mark chapter 4. And you can reference the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. That's Matthew 5:15, and the book of Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 33. And he said to them, would a lamp be brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be put on a lampstand? In other words, it's got to shine its light out. You don't hide it. Verse 22. You can reference Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. and Luke chapter 12, verse 2. That's Matthew 10, 26, and Luke 12, 2 for verse 22. For whatever is hidden shall be revealed, and whatever has been kept secret shall come to light. Verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, only those that have the Spirit and are of his taught ones. The others are not going to hear it. I don't understand. Of course, it's not meant for you to understand. Yahweh is going to call whom he calls, and others he doesn't want. And that just bamboozles the Judeo-Christians. You mean he doesn't want people? He loves everybody. He wants everybody. No. No, he does not. Okay? There are those that Yahweh does not want. He's the supreme being. He has that authority. But they want to take that away from him and downsize him for their own little agendas. Verse 24 of chapter 4 of Mark. And you can reference Matthew 7, verse 2, and Luke 6, verse 38. That's Matthew 7, 2, and Luke 6, 38. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be added to you who hear. Verse 25. In verse 25, you can reference Matthew 13, verse 12. That's Matthew 13, verse 12. And Matthew 25, verse 29. 25, verse 29. That's 13, 12, and 25, 29 in Matthew. And the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 26, that's Luke 19, 26 for verse 25 here. For whoever possesses, in other words, if you have the Holy Spirit, to him more shall be given. But whosoever does not possess, in other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. In other words, these words will be snatched away. They won't mean anything to him, and nothing will come of it. It's been rejected. Okay. Verse 26, he goes on explaining. And he said, the reign of Elohim is as when a man scatters seed on the ground. Verse 27, then sleeps by night and rises by day. While the seed sprouts and grows, he himself does not know how, because Yahweh makes life, okay? Verse 28, for the soil yields crops by itself. First the blade, and then the head. After that, the completed grain in the head. Verse 29. And you can reference the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 13. Joel 3, 13. And when the crop is ready, immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Verse 30. And he said, to what shall we compare the reign of Elohim, or with what parable shall we present it? verse 31. Like a mustard seed. When it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. It's a little bitty tiny, little tiny thing. Little tiny mustard seed. Verse 32. And when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the heaven are able to nest under its shade. Okay. Verse 33. And with many such parables, he was speaking to them the word as they were able to hear. Verse 34. And he was not speaking to them without parables. And when they were alone, he explained all to his taught ones. Verse 35, and on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Verse 36, and having left the crowd, they took him along in the boat, and he as he was. And other little boats were also with him. Verse 37, and there came a great windstorm, and the waves beat into the boat, little boat out in the sea, so that it was already being filled. It was swamping the boat. And the disciples were panicking. They were panicking, just panicking. Verse 38, and he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, is it no concern to you that we perish? They were worried about drowning. They were out in the middle of the sea in a little bitty boat. Verse 39, and having been awakened, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. A great calm. Because he said that. Just because he said it. He gave a commandment to the elements of this planet. You have to understand who spoke those words. What was he? Was he a regular man? No. He was a son of Elohim in the flesh. In the flesh. And these people were doubting his power later, even after walking with him. Verse 40. Here's what he says to them. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you not yet belief? this is what they said. Verse 41, these are the ones that were walking with him. And they feared exceedingly and asked each other, who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Who is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Well, welcome to the universe created by the Father, and the Son is with them, and he has power over the whole universe too. And they just couldn't get it. Well, that ends chapter 4 of the book of Mark. All these early gospels, they repeat a lot, okay? They do. They're very repetitious because they're different accountings by different people of the same incidents, okay? A little different wording here and there. But they're accounting, if you hear similarities in these early books, that's because they are similar. They're taking the words of the disciples as witnesses, and they are recounting them. Okay? And they all had slightly different perspectives because each man on this planet has a slightly different perspective on the same occurrence. Okay? One guy can watch a sport game, okay? And he'll give you a different accounting of the way a guy made a touchdown than the sportscaster. Or the guy two rows down. So that's what's going on with the disciples. Chapter 5 of the book of Mark. And they, verse 1, and they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 2, and when he came out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This guy was possessed. There was a lot of that in those days because they were open, they were living sinful lifestyles, and they were open to these demons. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him, not even with chains. Verse 4, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was able to tame him. This guy was tormented by this indwelling unclean spirit. Verse 5. And continually, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. He was abusing his body. The demon was making him cut himself. Verse 6. And seeing Yahshua from a distance, he ran and bowed down to him. And having called out with a loud voice, said, this is the demon speaking from this man, what have I to do with you, Yahshua, Son of the Most High El? Swear to Elohim not to torture me. Verse 8. For he had said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. He commanded him. Verse 9. And he was asking him, "What is your name?" Now listen to this carefully. And he answered, "My name is Legion." That's a big company of soldiers, okay? "Because we are many." There was more than one in there. Okay. Now let's stop. They were in the country of the Gadarenes. A lot of those people were swineherders, which is forbidden to Israelites. Okay. Verse 10. "And he begged him very much that he would not send them out of the country." Verse 11. "Now a great herd of pigs was there feeding near the mountains." They belonged to the Gadarenes. Verse 12. "And all the demons begged him that many more than one." This guy had all kinds of demons, saying, "Send us to the pigs so that we enter into them," because they could possess animals too. Verse 13. "And he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the pigs." They were about 2,000. That's how many demons was in this poor guy. They don't take up any space. "And the herd rushed down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." The pigs drowned. Verse 14, "And those who fed the pigs fled and reported it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what had taken place." Verse 15, "So they came to Yeshua and saw the demon-possessed one, him who had the legion, sitting and dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Verse 16, "And those who saw it related to them what was done to the demon-possessed one and about the pigs." Verse 17, "And they began to plead with him to leave their borders." He just wrecked their pig industry, okay? Verse 18. "And as he was entering into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him." He wanted to follow him and obey him and be his servant. Verse 19, "And Yeshua did not allow him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and report to them what the Master has done for you and how he had compassion on you.'" Because evidently this guy was an Israelite that had been possessed. Wow. Okay. Verse 20. "And he left and began to proclaim the word in Decapolis all that Yeshua had done for him, and all marveled." He told the word about Yeshua. Publicized it widely. Verse 21. "And when Yeshua had passed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd assembled to him, and he was by the sea." verse 22. And see, one of the rulers of the congregation came. Okay. That's one of the people that helped lead the congregation. Jair by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him strongly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her to heal her, and she shall live." Now this is going to get pretty heavy here. Verse 24, and he went with him, and a large crowd was following him, and they were thronging him. All right, here's the woman that had a menstrual flow for many years. Verse 25, and a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Constant menstrual cycle, unending. Very weak, very painful, suffering. Don't know why. Verse 26, and you can reference the book of Tobit, chapter 2, verse 10. The book of Tobit and your Apocrypha, chapter 2, verse 10. And it had suffered much from many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather became worse, just like today with Big Pharma. Verse 27. Having heard about Yeshua, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. That's the garment with the tzitzit on it. The fringes. Verse 28. For she said, "If I only touch his garment, I shall be made well." She just believed that just touching his garment would do it. Verse 29, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Yeshua knew when she had touched him because power went out of him. Verse 30, and immediately Yeshua, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Verse 31. And his taught ones said to him, "You see the crowd is thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Verse 32. And he was looking around to see her who did this. Verse 33, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and spoke to him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said to her, "Daughter, your belief has healed you. Go in peace and be relieved from your affliction." She was an Israelitess. Verse 35, as he was speaking, they came from the ruler of the congregation's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Verse 36. But having heard the word that was spoken, Yeshua said to the ruler of the congregation, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." Verse 37. And he allowed no one to follow him except Kepha and Yaakov and Yochanan, the brother of Yaakov. Verse 38. So they came to the house of the ruler of the congregation and saw a commotion and much weeping and lamenting. Verse 39, and coming in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is sleeping." Verse verse 40. Well, listen to this. And they were laughing at him, and when he had put them all out, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and went in where the child was lying. Verse 41. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Verse 42. And immediately the girl rose up and was walking, for she was 12 years old. And they were completely astonished. Verse 43. But he ordered them many times that no one should know it, and said that she should be given food to eat. And that ends chapter 5. Now I have enough time, and I'm going to get into chapter 6. This is chapter 6 of the book of Mark. Verse 1. And he went away from there and came to his own country, and his taught ones followed him. Verse 2. Chapter 6 of Mark. And Shabbat having come, he began to teach in the congregation. And many who heard were astonished, saying, Where did he get all this? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such miracles are done through his hands? Verse 3. They thought they knew him, but they didn't quite. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Miriam, and brother of Jacob, and Joseph, and Yehuda, and Shimeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they stumbled in him. In other words, they were confused and didn't understand him. They couldn't figure out why he was able to do all these things. It wasn't there. Verse 4 of chapter 6 of Mark, and you can reference John chapter 4, verse 44. John 4, 44. And Yeshua said to them, A prophet is not unappreciated except in his own country, and among his own relatives, and in his own house. Boy, oh boy. Remember the term familiarity breeds contempt? Well, we know this old boy, and he's just one of us. He's the son of Miriam, and the brother of Jacob, and Joseph, and Judah, and Shimeon. And his sisters are here. Who's this? They thought they knew him. And because of their unbelief, here you go, verse 5. And he was unable to do any miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick ones and healed them. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he was going around among the villages teaching. Verse 7. And he called the 12 near and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Them, okay? Them authority. He gave them specifically those men, not everybody. Verses 8 through 11, you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 4 through 11. That's Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 4 through 11. And just verse 11 here, you can reference Acts chapter 13, verse 51. Acts 13, 51. But 8 through 11 is Luke 10, 4 through 11. And he, in verse 8, and he instructed them to take none at all for the journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. Verse 9. But to wear sandals and not to wear two undergarments. Verse 10. And he said to them, wherever you enter into a house, stay there until you leave that place. Here's verse 11. Reference Acts 13:51. And any place that does not receive you or listen to you when you leave there, shake off the dust of your feet as a witness against them. Truly, I say to you, it shall be more bearable for Sodom and Amorah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's powerful. Verse 12, and they went out and proclaimed that men should repent. Verse 13, and he had given them power, okay? Nobody else, just them. You can reference James chapter 5, verse 14 on this verse. James 5, 14. And they were casting out many demons, and they were anointing with oil many who were sick, and they were healing them. Verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15, you can reference Matthew chapter 16. Verse 14, and Mark chapter 8, verse 28, and Luke chapter 9, verse 19. That's Matthew 16, 14, Mark 8, 28, and Luke 9, 19, verse 14. And sovereign Herodias heard, for his name, Yeshua, had become well known. And he said, Yohanan the Immerser has been raised from the dead, and because of this, these powers are at work in him. He didn't understand. He was an Edomite. Verse 15, others said, he is Eliyahu. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets. Verse 16, but when Herodias heard, he said, this one is Yohanan whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. Verses 17 and 18, you can reference Luke chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. That's Luke 3, 19 and 20. For verse 17, for Herodias himself had sent and seized Yohanan and bound him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. Verse 18, for Yohanan had said to Herodias, it is not right for you to have your brother's wife. He rebuked him. Verse 19, so Herodias held a grudge against him and wished to kill him, but was unable. Verse 20, for Herodias feared Yohanan, knowing that he was a righteous and set apart man. In other words, his wife held a grudge against him. That's Herodias. Don't get Herodias and Herodias confused. two different people. One was a woman, that's Herodias, and Herodias is the man. For Herodias feared Elkanah, knowing that he was a righteous and set-apart man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he was much perplexed, yet heard him gladly. Verse 21. And a suitable day came when Herodias, on his birthday, gave a feast for his great men, and the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. Verse 22. And when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, that's his wife's daughter, and pleased Herodias and those who sat with him, the sovereign said to the girl, ask me whatever you wish, and I shall give it to you. Verse 23, and he swore to her, whatever you ask me, I shall give you up to half my reign. Listen to this. She was prompted by her mother. Verse 24, and she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, that's her mother, the head of Elkanah the immerser. Because she was mad at Elkanah for saying that Herodias couldn't have her. It was wrong. Verse 25, so she engineered a revenge. And coming in immediately with haste to the sovereign, she asked, saying, I wish that you give me at once the head of Elkanah the immerser on a dish. Ooh. Well, she was her mother's daughter, but she was doing hoochie coochie dances for Herodias. So he was doing the mother, and he was probably doing the daughter as well. These people are immensely immoral. They're terrible. So this is what they asked. Verse 26. And the sovereign, becoming deeply grieved because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, did not wish to refuse her. Verse 27. And the sovereign straightway sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison. Verse 28. And brought his head on a dish and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. Verse 29. And when his taught ones heard of it, they came and took away his dead body and laid it in a tomb. Verse 30. And the emissaries gathered to Yeshua and reported to him all, both what they had done and what they had taught. Verse 31. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a little. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Verse 32. And they went away to a lonely place in the boat by themselves. Verse 33. But they saw them going, and many recognized him and ran there on foot from all the cities and came before them and came together to him. And verse 34, you can reference Numbers 27:17, 1 Kings 22, verse 17, 2 Chronicles 18, verse 16, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 5, and Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36. I'll repeat that. Numbers 27, 17, 1 Kings 22, 17, 2 Chronicles 18, 16, Ezekiel 34, 5, and Matthew 9, 36, verse 34. And having gone out, Yeshua saw a large crowd and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many matters. Verse 35. And as the hour grew late, his taught ones came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and now the hour is late." Verse 36. "Send them away so that they go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, since they have nothing to eat." Verse 37. "But he answering said to them, 'You give them to eat.' And they said to him, 'Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat?'" That's a Roman monetary unit. Verse 38. "Then he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fishes." Verse 39. "And he ordered them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass." Verse 40. "And they sat down in groups, in hundreds and in fifties." Verse 41. "And taking up the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to the heavens, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his taught ones to set before him. And the 2 fishes he divided among them all." Verse 42. "And all ate and were satisfied." Verse 43. "And they picked up 12 baskets filled with pieces also from the fishes." Verse 44. "Now those who ate the loaves were about 5,000 men." 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000. And I will stop there. May Yahweh bless and keep you. I will take up the rest of chapter 6 on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.